From the Moen Broadcast Center at KPCC, this is The Frame. I'm John Raby, sitting in for John Horn. Today, many women have postpartum depression. Most of them don't do stand-up comedy about it, but Angela Spicer does. Then, with Dirty John and Over My Dead Body, the podcast network Wondery is making a killing on true crime, treating it like any other trend in Hollywood.
You know, whether it's vampires or zombies, you wonder, superheroes, when is it going to end? And in podcasting, true crime has just continued to grow as a genre.
And you can have chili without a single bean, but can you have Kevin and Bean without Bean? One half of the K-Rock Morning Show is quitting after 30 years on the air. All that's coming up on The Frame. Welcome to The Frame. I'm John Raby, sitting in today for John Horn. Most K-Rock listeners were shocked when they heard this yesterday morning.
I have been talking about and thinking about, and my wife and I have been discussing for a long time. Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay. Moving to England.
That's Gene Bean Baxter, who co-hosts K-Rock's Kevin and Bean show with Kevin Ryder, announcing he's quitting the show at the end of the year. Kevin and Bean has entertained morning commuters for 30 years with banter, celebrity interviews, showbiz updates, news segments, and even some music. And, says Kimberly Nordyke of The Hollywood Reporter, launched a lot of careers.
Jimmy Kimmel got his big break on the Kevin and Bean show, and obviously he's gone on to have an amazing career hosting Jimmy Kimmel Live for ABC. Adam Carolla was also a big part of the show. Ralph Garman was an 18-year veteran of the show who's gone on to have a successful daily podcast after he was let go from the show. Matt Money Smith, who now has his own sports program. He did sports for a long time on the radio program. You know, a lot of people have come and gone that have gone on to a lot of fruitful careers. And Kevin and Bean have been like this constant over 30 years.
So you tune in to Kevin and Bean. There's Kevin. There's Bean. How do you tell them apart? What is Bean's personality? Which one is he?
Bean's the one that the other on-air personalities on the show like to tease a lot for various reasons. His Twitter account is full of what they call random tweets, where he'll tweet about, you know, the most trivial item. And they do segments where they like to tease him about his tweets. They do segments where they like to tease him about his bad examples, because he seems to pick examples that nobody in the world would pick that are very unique to Bean. He's sort of the guy that brings like the quirkiness to the show. He has a lot of interesting tastes and hobbies. Longtime fans know that he's in love with the Postal Service. He's in love with Pluto and the astronomer who discovered it, Clyde Tombaugh, who is actually, that's actually the handle of his Twitter account, is Clyde Tombaugh. He also has a longtime obsession with wanting to serve on a jury. He loves Taylor Swift. He loves Gordon Lightfoot. So I think he's always been kind of the one that brings the quirkiness to the show, but he's also got a great sense of humor. Kevin is a little bit different. He likes to make fun of Bean quite a bit, but it makes for a really fun show. You know, you laugh out loud at kind of their chemistry, at their dynamic, and you can tell how close they are because it seems like they genuinely love each other.
Wow. So given that moment with Bean and your adventures in England, don't you think an MRI is in order? Seriously?
Something. I need
a
something.
CAT scan, something. You need to be checked out.
Bean made the announcement this week that he's leaving. Why is he going? How did he explain it?
Well, what he said is that after 30 years, he just felt like it was the right time to move on. But he had been thinking for several years about moving to the UK. He was born there. He's actually a British citizen, which I think came as a surprise to a lot of fans. Another thing that he said was he actually cited Donald Trump as one of the reasons, and he just wanted to get away from all that as well.
Wow, he's going to be the first documented Democrat to actually follow up on their threat to leave the country.
You're right. You're right. He's actually making good on.
K-Rock is part of the Entercom kingdom, which includes Jack FM, The Wave, Amp, K-Earth, and KNX. And the show on K-Rock is actually the number 11 morning show in Los Angeles, with a little more than 500,000 listeners every week. For context, Coast, KFI, and K-Earth are number 1, 2, and 3, and even KPCC is number 9. So here is K-Rock at number 11. Is that sustainable? Is it time to revamp?
I actually put a call into K-Rock yesterday trying to find these answers, and I haven't gotten a call back. So what Bean did say is that there will be many months ahead to discuss the history of the show and the future of the show. He said that the show is not going to go anywhere. It's going to continue. But I think there's a lot of questions about what is the shape of the show going forward. Is it just Kevin by himself with some people, you know, backing him up? Or is it you know, something where Ali or their new co-host Jensen Karp takes a bigger role.
Bean is leaving. He is just the most recent person to leave the show.
He is. In 2015, the station fired two longtime personalities, Lisa May, who had started out doing traffic on the show, but she had sort of morphed into more of a co-host over the years. And then Doc on the Rock, who did news for the station for a long time in the mornings. 2 years later, the station got rid of Ralph Garman, who had been on the show for 18 years, and he provided so much entertainment. He's the man of a thousand voices. He, you know, he does impressions, everyone from Donald Trump to Al Pacino.
Kevin and Bean.
Yeah. How you doing, Mr. Pacino?
Ooh, I'm not doing so good.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
My daughter ran into a little trouble.
Yeah.
With the law!
He was a big part of the show, very integral in coming up with comedy bits and segments and doing the showbiz beat. And I think fans are really upset when that happened as well.
Can you give us insight into why they've been making these changes?
One might have to suspect that it has something to do with the ratings, as you mentioned. You know, they are number 11 in the L.A. market. And so maybe it's just a matter of trying something new to goose their ratings. In the radio landscape, there's so much competition. You've got Spotify, you've got Pandora, you've got SiriusXM, you've got, you know, podcasts that people listen to on their drive into the work now. So I think it's just maybe trying something new and seeing what works.
How important are these anchor hosts to the success of the show when it comes down to it?
You know, I think the host and the personalities are crucial to the show. I think it's everything. You've got Ryan Seacrest on Kiss FM, and obviously he's a big draw. People know him. People tune in just for him. It's the same way with Kevin and Bean. People tune in just for those personalities. Even people who aren't necessarily fans of alternative rock tune into the station just for that morning program, and then when it's over, they tune to their other favorite station. You know, I think it's everything. I think without the right host in place, you're never going to succeed.
Kimberly Nordyke, managing editor online at The Hollywood Reporter. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It was nice chatting with you.
Coming up, we go from old school rock and roll radio to the true crime podcasting boom. This is The Frame.
Just like birds of a feather, we too have followed the golden sun.
Welcome back to The Frame. I'm John Raby, sitting in for John Horn. Two Dope Queens, Serial, Marc Maron, The Frame, The Daily. We're living in a podcast boom, and you gotta ask, when will it bust? Given that Spotify just paid more than $200 million for Gimlet Media, maybe not anytime soon. Which brings up a key question. How do you stand out in an increasingly crowded field? Wondery, an L.A.-based podcast company, has carved out a niche with true crime stories. Their first big hit with the L.A. Times was Dirty John, which was also turned into a scripted TV show. Wondery is trying to replicate that model with other podcasts like the new Over My Dead Body. Marshall Louie, who has a background in film production, is Wondery's chief content officer, and he sat down with The Frame's John Horn.
It started with really in the wake of the massive success that was Serial, and seeing people binging these episodes of Serial and getting so engrossed in it and realizing that there was about to be this boom in on-demand audio. But there was an opening for a company that didn't come from sort of a public radio lineage and could use some of the Hollywood storytelling devices and ways of communicating that weren't being used as much. And when Dirty John, which was a partnership with the LA Times, happened, that was sort of the first big hit that Wondery had.
From the Los Angeles Times and Wondery, this is Dirty John. I'm Christopher Gofford.
And so since then, we've had a few other miniseries that we kind of consider our tentpoles. So we've had Dr. Death, which we did on our own. We did Gladiator, which was about Aaron Hernandez with the Boston Globe Spotlight team.
This is the former Patriots player?
Yes. Yeah, Aaron Hernandez, who was tried and convicted of killing, of murdering a few people. But it was a look with the Spotlight team, which obviously is famous for exposing the Catholic Church sex abuse scandal.
Hernandez's family arranged for his body to be brought back to his hometown of Bristol, Connecticut for a funeral. And they made a decision that ultimately had huge implications. They gave permission for his brain to be studied.
There was also a lot of looking at college football and the NFL and what they did or did not do to address his behavior, which was, there were red flags from the beginning.
Which was caused by CTE, partially, a brain injury that a lot of football players suffer.
Yeah. And then most recently, this month, we had our next sort of big tentpole series called Over My Dead Body.
You know that couple that seems too good to be true?
Danny was a phenomenal person, kind of a larger-than-life person.
She was a goofy woman.
Had a million friends on Facebook and so forth.
Successful.
It's now number one in the Apple Podcasts in the English-speaking charts around the world, and is another six-episode deep dive into a crazy stranger-than-fiction story.
But those couples, they're never as perfect as they seem.
So Over My Dead Body, Dr. Death, Dirty John, Gladiator, all of those stories involve death, murder, some iteration of it. And it would seem that those are the shows that you're best known for. So when you think about that genre, is that accident? Is that design? Because those are stories that certainly, while they're different, share a lot of common elements.
I think since Serial season one, which was obviously about a murder story, there has been this insatiable appetite for true crime in the podcast space. And that has continued now for a few years. And like any trend in Hollywood, it's sort of like, well, when is this going to end? You know, whether it's vampires or zombies, you wonder, superheroes, when is it going to end? And in podcasting, true crime has just continued to grow as a genre. So I think the way that we look at these stories when we're making them is, and one of the reasons, for example, the success of Dirty John is we're looking not only as it has a murder in it. Yes, somebody dies, but it really is a family drama and a psychological thriller. And Over My Dead Body is certainly the same way. Gladiator is a deeper dive with the Spotlight team into an investigation of what caused Aaron Hernandez to do what he did. And Dr. Death is an indictment and a look at the medical system. So, you know, I think murder gets people to listen, but it is a fascinating way to look at the human condition. And I think, you know, going back to Dostoevsky, that's been true.
We're talking with Marshall Louis about podcasting at his company, Wondery. Your podcasts generally make great use of archival tape, that they're very audio rich in terms of what people have said in the past. And I want to play something involving the phone recordings of Dr. Robert Henderson, who is the doctor who really leads to the outing of Dr. Christopher Dunsch, who has his own very bad track record when he gets into an operating room.
Anywhere else. I mean, this guy's a maniac, and he's pathologic, apparently. He talked his way out of, apparently, these issues at your hospital.
No, he didn't. Let me just be clear, he did not.
No, I mean, I'm trying to stop this guy from being let operate anywhere, anytime, any place.
That's from the podcast Dr. Death. So how would you describe Wondery's use of sound design and especially archival audio?
We use the term emotionally immersive to talk about our sound design. We want the listener to feel something, and we want to do what we can within reason to put the listener there as it's happening. In terms of archival, we try to use it as much as it exists. And I think we've been lucky with Over My Dead Body. We got over 500 phone calls from an FBI wiretap that came in 10 days before we were ready to launch. And we frantically worked to put them into the episode. And I think they made them a lot richer. In this case, Laura Beale, the reporter of Dr. Death, tells a great story that when she first reached out to Dr. Henderson, who's sort of the hero of the story, who was trying to get this bad doctor, Christopher Dunsch, to stop practicing, the first time she reached out to him, he said, you might want to bring a thumb drive because I have a lot of files. And she said, as a reporter, that's always a great thing to hear.
Why did he have these recordings?
He thought this was going to end up in litigation someday, and he recorded his calls to the Texas Medical Board, to the head of the hospital, and he had them, and most of them had never been heard before this podcast.
So Dirty John is a LA Times multi-part series. It becomes a podcast, and then it becomes a documentary on Oxygen and a scripted series on Bravo. When you're thinking about the stories that you want to tell as a podcast, do you try to imagine what those iterations might be? And is that a factor in your deciding whether or not you're going to do something?
It is a factor. I think we think twice if it's something that we don't think could become a TV show or a film in the future. But we're not thinking about the structure of what it's going to be as a TV show when we're making the podcast necessarily, except that we're trying to hit some of those same storytelling notes that are good for any medium. So character, story, drama, twists, turns, tension, stakes, all of those things are things that we're thinking about when we make the podcast. And of course, that lends itself well to when it's time to somebody comes and wants to turn it into a TV show. So I was, you know, I think in the case of Dirty John, they stayed pretty close to the basic structure of the podcast for the scripted TV show. And right now we're adapting Dr. Death with a writer named Patrick McManus with Universal Cable Productions.
And as a scripted series.
As a scripted series. And Gladiators with FX, with Color Force, Brad Simpson and Nina Jacobson's company at FX.
And how do you continue to stand out? Because everybody, this conversation is a podcast on the frame. Anybody with a microphone can make a podcast. There are going to be more and more podcasts. There are probably 20 that have been added as we've been talking. So how do you make sure that you remain relevant? Maybe people will look for the name, but how do you make sure that people will look for your shows?
Yeah, somebody told me there's going to be more podcasts than there are people. I think we have a certain sound and a style and an approach to our storytelling that is certainly not unique, but it's something that we focus on, and we want people to know what a Wondery show sounds like. We want all the shows that we do to potentially have a broad audience, not niche. Hopefully that's continuing to grow as people get to know and love the podcast that we have made. They give us a chance on the next one, and we continue to grow our audience.
I want to end by playing something that is a little bit off topic, but it is relevant to something I want to ask you about. This is a clip from Portlandia, where Portlandia is spoofing the podcast style, I think more specifically of Serial.
It's only been 3 hours since the body was discovered, but already this case is being badly bungled.
It's important to remember that many of these cops are poor, uneducated, and bad at their jobs. There's an old saying in this part of the country, and it goes like this. I can't read.
That's almost a parody of a parody of Ira Glass as well. But at certain points, do you say to yourselves, you're listening to the show, okay, maybe we don't have to have the tinkle of the wine glass or the fork. Is there a Wondery style that you say, oh my goodness, we've gone too far, we have to dial it back?
That's a great question. Yes. And I think we're always trying to refine, and maybe someday someone will be spoofing the style of our shows.
I guess when you're being spoofed, it's the highest compliment, right?
Yeah. And you know, I love Serial. I loved S-Town. I love This American Life. It's probably why I ended up getting into podcasts was This American Life. But I think in seriousness, we are very mindful of not being exploitative of the people who we're telling stories about, and very careful to present them as fairly as we can, and not have a superior attitude to the people who we're making stories about.
Marshall Louis is the Chief Creative Officer at Wondery. Marshall, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Coming up on The Frame, how a comedian with postpartum depression became an activist for mothers' mental health.
You've seen the movie San Andreas, right?
Natalie, I'm gonna need you to stay calm, honey.
I've got some bad news for you. When the big one hits, The Rock won't save you. Want to know how to get ready for the next major quake? I'm Jacob Margolis, science reporter and host of KPCC's new podcast, The Big One, your survival guide. Prepare yourself. Listen in Apple Podcasts.
Welcome back to The Frame. I'm John Raby, sitting in for John Horn. 1 in 7 women who have a child have postpartum depression, and most find it hard to talk about. But not L.A. comedian Angelina Spicer, who talks about it a lot in her stand-up routine. KPCC's early childhood reporter Priska Neely has her story.
Put your hands together for Angelina Spicer!
I am Angelina Spicer. I am a comedian, an influencer, and accidental activist. Yeah.
That last thing, accidental activist, that's new
and unexpected.
I didn't plan on this journey. It chose me, for sure. I never would have thought that I'd be, like, telling moms to advocate for themselves.
And she's lobbying on their behalf, too. She's testified about her experience with postpartum depression before lawmakers in Sacramento and Washington, D.C. She talks about it at hospitals and conferences. And she's speaking about her trauma on stage, something she never did before she became a mom.
I'm not one of those people that thrives on pain or tragedy to find my material. You know, I'm an outspoken Black woman. My husband is very straight-laced white guy. Like, there's enough there.
Before she became this accidental activist, Spicer was known for things like her spoofs of Tyra Banks on America's Next Top Model.
Your photo was nothing short of brilliant.
Parodies of progressive commercials where she plays a Black flow.
White privilege for everyone. Now that's progressive.
And satirical remixes of hit songs.
My style before, in hindsight, was very superficial, but it was funny.
Now, Spicer is drawing from a much deeper well, and on stage, she keeps it really real.
After you have a baby, people will tell you that your vagina just breaks. Right, she's shaking her head. Yes, girl, it breaks, it falls apart.
Her evolution as a comedian began back when she and her husband got pregnant. She says she was happy and hopeful, but when her daughter, Ava, was born, she faced a new reality.
I thought that pushing the baby out was going to be the hardest part. I was, like, preparing, like, okay, got to do my yoga, got to get the epidural, but I was not expecting what followed.
She says everything about caring for her new daughter was just hard and scary, and she was still shooting a web series and doing stand-up. She tried out some jokes about her new motherhood, and it didn't work.
I'm like, girl, time plus tragedy. You got to give it some time before you just jump out there. But I was out there, and I heard crickets.
Like many new moms, Spicer was struggling with stress and sleep. Her husband, Joe Trigilio, says she kept most of it inside.
She looked like she was holding it together. She looks like she was doing it. And I think me and her mom both saw it. We saw that she was, you know, stressed, more stressed than usual. But overall, I mean, you couldn't tell.
At 8 months postpartum, that's when everything just crumbled.
Spicer was overwhelmed by intrusive, violent thoughts. She told her therapist about this.
So I was essentially apologizing to my therapist for what I had done in my mind. That's when my therapist was like, you need to go check into a hospital.
She spent 10 days getting care at a psychiatric hospital. This was 3 years ago, but she didn't talk about it on stage until just a few months ago.
Before it was, you know, the dragon uterus, the broken vag, all that. But like the deep, deep, deep hospital shame. It took a while. For me, this was so shameful. Going to a psychiatric hospital?
She talks about it now because she wants to remove that shame. And she wants people to know how she got to the other side.
My therapist took one look at me and she was like, girl, you need to go to a hospital. My first thought was, can I sleep there?
After her hospital stay, Spicer continued therapy. She started taking antidepressants. Her family pooled money to pay for childcare. And she learned how to cope and envision a future where her baby daughter grows up.
Like, I was so caught up in those anxious, depressed, never-ending moments that I couldn't imagine her even uttering a word. I couldn't. I just thought her love language forever and ever and ever was going to be crying. And it's just a miracle now to see, like, she's a person.
We got fruit snacks.
You got fruit snacks? Yeah.
Yeah, look at a bumblebee.
Mm-hmm.
Bumblebee.
Ava is 3 now, and Angelina just loves being her mom.
Ava, do you remember when you were a baby?
Yeah.
You do? Tell me about what you remember.
I remember you with your tummy.
Uh-huh, you were in my tummy. And did we go on stage and do comedy when you were in my tummy?
Yeah.
You went to the comedy club with me?
Spicer said she didn't feel completely healed until Ava's 3rd birthday. Her husband says he's proud of her bravery in sharing her story.
She's embraced it and I think made a huge impact in a short time.
Her testimony helped to pass legislation in California requiring screenings and referrals for postpartum depression. And with each stand-up show she does, she starts a new conversation.
I hate that people lie about everything, especially with kids, you know? They lie and tell you that you can't get postpartum depression. Yeah, I got that. I know it's a white girl's disease. I know. But I got it.
Spicer recognizes that with this subject matter, there's a delicate balance between being funny and being insensitive. She carefully walks that line, and her audiences love it.
The response I get is like the new Me Too movement. Like, oh, finally somebody said it.
She's raising money now to shoot a comedy special as part of a documentary she's making on maternal mental health. And she's even figured out a way to combine her new message about postpartum depression, or PPD, with her classic parody approach.
You down with PPD? Yeah, you know me. You down with PPD? Yeah, you
know me. You down for The Frame, PPD? I'm Prisca Neely.
Who's down with PPD?
What
is my mommy? You down with PPD?
And for more on Angelina Spicer's story and postpartum depression, go to laist.com. That's laist.com. And that's The Frame for today. Thanks for listening. I'm John Raby. John Horn is back tomorrow.
Get out with PPD. Who's out with PPD? What is-